How are you? Well, we ask the question all the time, don't we? And for many of us, quite often it's automatic, isn't it? How are you? Fine. I've caught myself doing it this morning already, having had this prepared to talk about. You know, sometimes we're perhaps so concerned to keep up appearances, to seem as though we're coping perhaps, but we just don't want to burden people. We don't necessarily give an honest answer. But I'm fine. Well, we're looking at this Psalm of David. Psalm 13 begins with a note to the director of music. It's a Psalm of David. Sometimes the opening title gives us an indication of the historical context, what's been going on in David's life as he writes this. But we have no historical context here. We don't know the circumstances as he writes Psalm 13. But we can say he's not having a very good day. Things are not going well. Perhaps the problem is one of physical health. He writes in verse 3, "Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death." We talk about people having a twinkle in their eye, don't we? We talk about the eyes, the saying goes, are the window of the soul. Well, there you go. David is saying, give light to my eyes. Maybe there's an issue here of physical health, or I'll sleep in death, he says. Maybe he's suffering an attack of his enemies. Verse 4 says, or my enemy will say, I've overcome him. We know that David spent years hounded by King Saul, running for his life, hiding out in the wilderness, camping in caves. We know that his own son, Absalom, rebelled against him. There was a civil war as his son tried to overthrow him in a military coup. But we don't know the circumstances in which he wrote this psalm. Maybe that's helpful to us. Because if it was on the occasion of his fleeing from his son as his son tries to kill him, you might struggle to relate to that. Or maybe you wouldn't. I don't know your sons. If it was about a particular illness he had and you could say, well, I've never had that problem, then maybe you could say that this psalm wasn't applicable to you. But we don't know the circumstances. In other words, it's general. It's open. It is what we call a lament. A song of mourning. A song of distress. It is an honest, heartfelt response to real pain, real distress that David was experiencing. And sometimes we're in distress too. Maybe there's someone and they've been called into the boss's office because they're facing redundancy. They don't know how they're going to pay the bills. Why is this happening? Think of a widow grieving at the graveside, crying out about it. Maybe there's a parent and their child is diagnosed with leukemia. Why is this happening? How long will I have to endure this? Maybe you can't even point to a cause or a specific reason, but this morning your soul is crying out, how long, God? I can't carry on like this. Have you forgotten about me? There are Christians who will tell you that the Christian life is all about being victorious and that truly spiritual, godly people don't have struggles. That is not what the Bible teaches. That is not the experience of David in this psalm. It isn't the experience of Paul. It isn't the experience of thousands of believers down through church history. Rather, what we discover is that Christians in their trials, in their distress, turn in faith to God. This evening in our overview of in the Old Testament, as we move through the Bible there, we've come to the book of Job, which considers some of the same questions. First thing I want us to see then as we look, the psalm breaks into three parts, verses 1 and 2, verses 3 and 4, verses 5 and 6. And the first part, we see the despair of David. You know, there is a refreshing reality about David in this psalm. He is most definitely not fine. He tells it how it is. It's very real. Look at verses 1 and 2. How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? You ever felt like that? You ever woken up in the morning and just wished that you hadn't? Do you know what it is to go through those days when you just weep for no apparent reason? Clearly David does. Every day I have sorrow in my heart, he says. There's a refreshing reality about it. We can hear, if you like, express for us the pain, the distress. God's blessing on his people, we're told in Numbers, was that he would turn his face towards them. In what way should God bless them? By showing them his face. And David says, how long are you going to hide your face? Will you forget me? He says. Can God forget? God, who by definition is all-knowing? God who has no limits? God who is eternal and infinite? Can he forget? I mean, I might forget things. There'd be a long list of things that you could point to that I've forgotten. Ask Rose. There are definitely things I've forgotten that I could be reminded of. But can God forget? But that is how he feels. God's face is turned away from him, he feels. God's forgotten him, abandoned him, if you like. Four times he asks, how long? And so we see it's not an isolated event. It's not something bad has happened this morning that leaves David feeling like this. How long? We don't know for how long this has gone on. You have to assume it's been a while. Sometimes it's possible that we can be strong. We can stand firm, if you like. We can keep going through those short, intense difficulties. But when they begin to drag on and on, well, maybe you felt like that this morning when you woke up. How long? Can't carry on like this. How long, Lord? David is in a real, there's an extremity of grief and sorrow. However tempting it is to sanitize that and to push it to one side and to ignore that, to assume that someone will get over something. There are many who have experienced deep difficulty that they've endured over a very long time. And he's honest to acknowledge that, as David does. But the point here is this. Who is it that David calls to? Who is it that he looks to? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? You see, here we have the proof of what is going on inside David. It's only faith that can cry like this. You see, the average man or woman in the street, maybe they believe in some kind of higher power, if you like, but they've got no interest in a personal God. They live their lives without reference to him. They've got no real interest in him. Are they going to call on God like this? Are they, when they're in deep distress, or when they are aching in their very soul, are they going to say, I think God's abandoned me? And they might point to their circumstances and say, look, this is going on in my life. They might say, this is how I am feeling. But is it God that they're going to look towards? No, God in these times is forming our character and he is revealing our hearts. You see, crying out to God in this way, it isn't sinful. It's not wrong to call on God. It reveals the relationship we have with him. David, as he writes, feels that God has turned his back on him. He's cut off. He's abandoned by God. But it's God he turns to anyway. Well, why? Because true faith has nowhere else to go. Do you feel lost? Do you feel cut off? Do you feel yourself abandoned this morning? Are you asking yourself, how long, Lord? Have you forgotten about me? Why have you turned your back on me? True faith says that to God, because it has nowhere else to go. So that is David's despair. Deeply felt, personal cry of anguish directed towards God. The second thing I want us to see as we look at verse 3 and 4 is David's intercession, his request, if you like. Now, if you are asking somebody to fetch you a cup of tea, you're quite calm and patient, I hope you are. You say, please. You wait till you've got their attention. But you're in the kitchen. Could you bring me a cup of tea? On the other hand, if you're about to cross, you stood with somebody, you're about to cross the road, and you can see them stepping out and there's a lorry coming, do you apply the same politeness in those situations? If it's not too much trouble, excuse me, would you mind awfully? Stop! Stop! There is an urgency. You need them to pay attention. Now this is interesting. As we look at verse 3, there is an urgency in what David says. Look on me! Answer me, O Lord my God. Look on me and answer me. There's a boldness, a directness, an urgency as he speaks to God. This is not a, if it isn't too much trouble. He is boldly seizing hold of God as he cries out to him. Why? Because he knows that his deliverance, his rescue is dependent on God. Again, if you were drowning, maybe you've been for your swim. Every year you go for a swim, whether you need it or not, and there you are, and you're in the deep end, and it's all a bit much, and how do you get the lifeguard's attention? Excuse me. Please, sir. I'm up here. You yell! Pay attention! Look on me! Help! Well, there's that urgency as David calls on God. He understands that his deliverance is dependent on God. As you call to God, you call to God with that kind of intensity, realizing that you are entirely dependent on him, desperate that he would deliver you. Have you ever called on God? You say, how do I do that? How do I call on God? Well, we call on God through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, God becomes human. And in the person of this Middle Eastern carpenter, God takes on human weakness. And so you can call on him. He's not aloof. He's not unaware. It's not that he's tucked away safely in heaven and has no idea what it is you're experiencing. This is the one who on the cross calls out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knows what it is to suffer. He knows what it is to feel cut off. And he has gone through that so that you don't have to be. So that rather than being eternally condemned, rather you could call on him. That's remarkable. That is the very heart of the Christian faith. To know that you are desperate and that you cry to God. There's David's despair then. His intercession, his request. But in verse 5 and 6, we see David's hope, his salvation. You see, for David, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Now, the light is not him. It isn't that he has, if you like, there's a book, I think it is. It says, Think Yourself Happy. Well, it's not that David has thought himself happy here. It is not that David thinks he's got the solution. He can fix it. David reflects on objective realities. He looks at God's love. And he says, I trust in it. It is unfailing love. Covenant mercy. He looks on God's salvation that God has worked. My heart rejoices in your salvation, he says. David has been rescued on many occasions. He looks back on those. They're evidence of God's love and power. God has done it before. I can rely on him. God hasn't changed. God hasn't lost the ability to. God hasn't lost his concern, his love. He has done that in the past. And therefore, I trust in your unfailing love, he says. My heart rejoices in your salvation. Even in the depth of his despair, he can look to God. And he can, in some mysterious way, rejoice in God's salvation. If you're a Christian, you're someone who looks back to God's love. You look to Jesus' work on the cross and you say, that is the basis on which I'm saved. That is what God has done. And that is my hope. That is why I can rejoice. Can you look back to what God has done? Do you look back on God's saving power? Can you say, I understand the nature of his love towards me and I look at what he has done in the person of Jesus Christ in working out my salvation? Can you do that? And if not, why not? What's holding you back? What is stopping you? Call into him. Cry out to God in faith. It's what David does here. From the bottom of this deep despair, he calls in faith to God because he knows he has nowhere else to turn. And when life piles up its junk at your door, and it will, you know that far better than I do. Some of you have experienced that in ways that I can't imagine. Call on him. Keep clinging to him. Look back to the cross of Calvary. See what God has worked there for your good. My heart, says David, rejoices in your salvation. If you are trusting in that love, your salvation is assured. You might be feeling cut off and you might be feeling lost. He has worked out a glorious plan to rescue you. He will never forsake you. We don't always get the answers. We don't know why David is suffering in this way. We don't know for how long it will continue. We do know that the response of faith is to cry to God because he knows it has nowhere else to go. Will you cry to God in faith? You do have nowhere else to go. Let's pray together. Lord, David is brutally honest about himself here. And so often we are so cautious, so controlled, so contained. We find it hard to be honest with each other, even those closest to us. We find it hard to be honest with you. Heavenly Father, for those who are feeling like this morning, Lord God, strengthen their faith. Cause them, Lord God, to cry to you. They have nowhere else to turn. Lord God, for those of us who are not in this situation, maybe we felt like this in the past. Who knows, but we might again. Oh, Lord God, that you would strengthen our faith so that we would lean on you and cry to you and call to you. Oh, Lord God, cause us to rejoice in your salvation. Cause us to trust in your unfailing love. We ask it in the good name of Jesus. Amen.